I want to introduce our pastor, Aaron Martin McDonald. Give her a big hand clap, everybody.
Just Aaron Martin would be great. All right. Yes, crafted into the vine. There we go. Well, thank you guys for coming out tonight. We always love when we're able just to worship with every single one of you and those watching online as well. You are welcome here anytime, and we're just so thankful for you. Tonight, I'm not good with small talk, so I'm just going to jump right into it. Tonight's message is called, Where Are You? If you've ever been in any type of workforce for at least a year, they will do what's called an employee assessment. And this evaluates what you are doing, expectations being met or not met, and what is expected from you for the next year. Even in school, we receive report cards based on where we stood of what we were supposed to know. And so when I think about evaluations, I often think about self-evaluations and how important they are and how helpful that they can be to us as we continue to move forward in our life and in our walk with God. And so we should be taking an honest assessment of where we are with God and where he wants us to be, and ask ourselves, where are we? What do I need to work on? What do I need to go after? And what do I need to lay down? And this message took a different kind of turn as I began to pray and I began to really write stuff on the screen. I have notes in, like, all over. I know some people are like, they just have them in one spot. I have them in like three different notebooks on my phone, on my computer, on my iPad. They're all over the place. And it's interesting when I look back, like they're really all so different. But then when I began to really pray and press into God with the scripture that he laid on my heart, it just took a different turn. And so while there is an underlying tone of where are you throughout this message, I really feel that tonight God is wanting us to hear and remember some of these things as we enter into the new year. So let's pray. God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for who you are, God, for your love and your grace tonight. God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds. Speak through your servant tonight. More of you, Jesus. Amen. So the passage that we'll be reading from tonight is from Genesis 3, 1 through 13. And we're going to be talking about the fall when sin entered into the world. And so it starts right at verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will certainly not die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put me here with, she gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it.' And the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" As I read through this, God really impressed on my heart three things to share with you tonight. And the first one, right in verse 1, the question I'm going to ask is, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? Verse 1 says, "He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from the tree?' And the woman said, 'We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say.'" So she knew exactly what God told her, and she quoted it to the serpent. You see, oftentimes we know what God says. We know what God told us to do. We know what God told us to say. We know where God told us to go. And yet we listen to the wrong voice. Whose voice are you listening to? It says that the serpent, who is known as the devil, and we can reference that in Revelation 12:9, it says, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. And so he says to her, did God really say that? He gets her to question the very words of God. So sometimes when I know something, it actually happened today. We were talking about the Bills game on Saturday, and we were talking about what time it was. And I said, it's at 1:05 p.m. on Saturday. I looked it up. I have it all planned. Going to make some chicken fingers, some deep fried pickles, all that. So I knew it was 1:05 on Saturday. And Malachi goes, no, it's at 1:30. And I said, no, it's at 1:05. And we're going back and forth. And by, 30 seconds in, I start questioning if I really knew what time it was, right? And we do that. And he looked it up and it is at 1:05. So, but I started to question. I started to question, though, what I knew, right? And I know it's a silly example, but that's what we do. You know, God said to you, go on a missions trip. And so you're ready to go on a missions trip. And then people start saying to you, do you really want to go? Are you sure you want to go? It's kind of dangerous over there. Maybe God didn't say that. And then you begin to question what you know God told you. Or God said, to start a business. And other people start questioning you. And they start questioning your business skills. And they say, are you sure you want to do this? You know, it's a little risky if you go out on your own and you start a business. And then you begin to question what you know God told you to do. You see, the enemy knows exactly how to get us to question the words of God. Whose voice are you listening to? 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't doubt the goodness of God by allowing the enemy to get you to question what God told you. See, Eve allowed the serpent to convince her that God was keeping something from her, when in reality, God was just protecting her. You know, I thought about when Malachi was little, the scene goes in my head. I had a straightener, still straighten my hair, but it was very hot at the time, right? And so he comes in and he goes to try to touch it. And I say, no, don't touch that. And, being three, what do they want to do? They want to keep trying to touch it. And sure enough, he ended up touching it and he burned his hand. Thankfully, it wasn't bad, but he realized why I told him not to touch it. You know, as parents, we keep our kids from being hurt. And sometimes they think we're keeping them from the world, and we're not. What has the enemy tried to convince you of that doesn't line up with God's word? If it's not in the book, don't take a second look. God's not keeping you from anything. He's wanting the best for you. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Stop questioning his word. Stop doubting his goodness. Don't let the enemy convince you of lies. You hear his voice in the word of God, the right counsel surrounding you, in prayer, in relationship with him. That's how you know the truth, by reading his word, by having a relationship with God. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So how do you know you're listening to God? By being in his word, by having your prayer time, by being faithful in that time with him. The more time you spend with somebody, the more you know them, right? The more time you spend with God, the more you're going to recognize and hear his voice. Whose voice are you listening to? Listen to the voice of God. He's the voice of truth. The second thing that I just really felt strong about tonight is come out of hiding. Verse 7 says, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid. They covered up from shame and they hid. They hid from their creator. They hid from their maker. They hid from their father. They hid because they felt guilt and shame, disgust, hurt, fear. They hid because they knew they were wrong and they didn't know how God would treat them next. You know, it's kind of funny if you think about it, because they were hiding from an all-knowing, all-powerful God who sees and knows everything. And yet, they were hiding. You know, it's kind of like a kid. I thought about this example when you play peekaboo with them, right? They don't think that you can see them. And they think that they really can't see you because your eyes are covered, right? And you're like, peekaboo. Or when they're in the middle of the room, I'm sure you've done this with a little kid, and they cover up and you're like, where are you? I don't see you. And they're right there. And then they get all excited when they pull the blanket down and you're like, oh, there you are. And that's kind of like what we do with God sometimes. We put a blanket over our head and we hide. We hide from God. And a lot of times we stop coming to church. We stop answering text messages. We slowly back away from people who care about us. We slowly stop getting involved. And we cover up and we feel the same exact thing that Adam and Eve felt. We feel shame. We feel guilt. We feel hurt and fear. We feel like we're not good enough. And I heard God so clearly say that it's time to uncover yourself. It's time to let go. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to tell the truth. It's time to get honest about where we are with God. We don't have to cover up anymore. We don't have to be that way. Yeah, are there going to be consequences? Sure. There was consequences for Adam and Eve. I'm not naive about that. But that didn't stop God from using them. Don't hide the truth from God. He already knows. He already knows what you're going through, what you're facing, what we've done. And he just wants us to come clean and repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He wants us to know that there's no shame in the name of Jesus. Romans 10:11 says, for everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And we have to realize that Satan is the deceiver. He is a liar. He's the king of shame. And he wants to make you feel that way. He wants to make you feel guilt and hurt and fear and lost. But in Romans 8:1, it says, there's no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. We can't walk into the next minute, the next hour, tomorrow, the next week, the next month, the next year, hiding from God. Allow him to help you. Allow him to steady you. Allow him to take what's broken inside of you and bring it back together. These lyrics by Stephanie Gretzinger say it all. She writes, come out of hiding. You're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown, and God holds the key. It's time to stop hiding and start running to God. So whose voice are you listening to? It's time to stop hiding, to come out of hiding. And number three, God's love is so much bigger. Verse 9 says, but the Lord called to the man, where are you? The very words, where are you? Indicates God's initiative of love. In the garden, if you think about it, Adam and Eve never seek out God for reconciliation. They're not the ones going, God, I did something wrong. Where are you? No, they were hiding. It was God that came down to the garden and he's walking in the garden. He says, where are you? Where are you? And he comes looking and he's seeking and he's the one in pursuit of reconciliation. And God has been seeking man and woman ever since that moment. God's pursuing you. He walked into the garden to find Adam and Eve, even though he knew where they were. But in that moment, he's showing his unconditional love. In that moment, he's showing unconditional love to not only them, but to us many years later reading those words. Where are you? They were hiding, but they didn't grasp yet the love that God had for them. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears has not been made perfect in love. God's love has no fear. Because we just read it, perfect love casts out fear. And when we understand that God loves you no matter what, no, we don't have to no longer be afraid that our failings are ever going to stop him from coming after us. There's nothing that we can do that will make God love us any less or more. And if we can only truly understand the depths of God's love, we would have nothing to fear. God already knows everything that we've done. He even knows what we're going to do. And yet, he still chooses to love us. Sometimes I think it's hard for us to grasp this kind of love because God's love is unconditional. And unfortunately, being in the world that we live in, we experience conditional love more than unconditional love. Conditional love doesn't feel good all the time. When love is done conditionally, the person usually puts terms or restrictions or rules to the love that they give. And you always feel like you have to earn their love when it's conditional. And conditional love will usually walk out on you when it gets hard. But unconditional love is a love without limits. It's a love without barriers, without terms. There's no I'll love you when or I'll love you if with unconditional love. It's boundless. It's freely given, and it's without cost to you. And for that reason, it can be sometimes hard to explain and even receive that kind of love. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It is too great to fully understand. His love for you and I is immeasurable. You can't run from it. So let's run to it. We can't escape it. So let's open our heart to it. Whoever is the person here on this earth that you think loves you the most, think about that person. God loves you more. I heard it once said that God loves the hell right out of you. That's how much he loves you. Danny Gokey wrote this on his Facebook page last week, and I wrote it down. He said, I can't brag about my love for God because I fail him daily, but I can brag about his love for me because he never fails. God's love never fails. 1 John 4 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so if we know that God is love, we can take the love chapter, 1 Corinthians, and you can take the word love and put God in there. God is patient. God is kind. Does not envy, does not boast. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. Though we are incomplete, God loves us completely. Though we are imperfect, he loves us perfectly. Though we may feel lost and without compass, God's love encompasses us completely. He loves every single one of us, even those who are flawed, rejected, awkward, sorrowful, or broken. We'll never comprehend the measure of his love. But we can open up our hearts and say, God, I need you in my life. We can ask, God, help me to understand how much you really love me. Because when we're able to understand and really walk in his love, then we're able to love others with that kind of love. And it's a love that the world doesn't understand because they're so used to that conditional love, the kind of love that puts terms on it. But God's love doesn't have those terms. It's an unconditional kind of love. That's why God's love is bigger than anything we can ever imagine. Whose voice are you listening to? It's time to come out of hiding. And God's love for you is bigger than anything that you can imagine. His love never fails. Let's pray. God, I thank you again for this moment. God, I thank you for what you're doing inside of us. Help us to really understand and hear your voice, God. Help us to not be ashamed if we mess up, and just let us help us just to run to you, God. Help us to be honest with where we are so that we can move forward. And God, help us to understand that your love is immeasurable. Your love is unconditional, God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your son to die on the cross that we would see how much you love us, God. We thank you for that tonight. And any person that's struggling tonight, God, I pray that your hand is on them. I pray that they would know that they haven't gone too far. They haven't done too much that you don't love them, that you want to love them right where they're at so that you can bring them to the next level. We open up our heart and our life to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us?
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am aware of these afflictions equipped by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am aware of these afflictions equipped by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Yeah, he loves us. Oh. Loves us so. are His portion and He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. His grace is an ocean we're all sinking. So if heaven means earth like an unforeseen kiss in my heart turned violently inside of my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us.
Aren't you glad for the word tonight? Come on, give the Lord a hand tonight, would you? Thank you, Lord. Sam and I have been working through a couple different Bible reading plans, and one of the plans talks about the washing of the word that Ephesians speaks of. I don't know about you tonight, but do you feel like you've just been washed in the word tonight? Just wave your hand if you feel that way tonight. And we're so thankful for, we're so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit walking in here and just a transformation, forgiveness flowing. I felt forgiveness flowing. I felt frustration leaving. I felt annoyance just how many of you have felt that tonight? So, Father, tonight we seal this Word. Father, we rebuke the blankets of anger. We rebuke the blankets of annoyance. We rebuke the blankets of frustration. And Father, we receive the washing of your word tonight. Even if you're at home tonight, you receive that. Just lift your hand to the Lord right where you are. Those that are in the house here tonight, just say, Lord, wash me in your word. In Jesus' name. Well, we love you so much. We're so thankful. Aren't you thankful for Kai and Pastor Aaron tonight? Would you give them one more hand? Amen. And we want you to know that we're thankful for you. We're thankful that you came out tonight. And we're thankful for those that have joined us online. And I can tell you, I spoke with my dad. He sends his love tonight. He's at a meeting. But on Sunday, God's just been, last Sunday was just a profound time where there was just a download from heaven. And he shared with me just a little bit of what the Lord has been working in him. And I've actually heard about last week's message all week this week. So I'm looking forward to what the Holy Spirit has to share this coming Sunday, 8:30, 10 a.m. and noon. And how many of you just love this weather? I don't know what is going on here. It's like spring. Thank God. We receive that. And I see all week this week it's supposed to be beautiful out. So come on out to church. Those of you that you've been home for a while, you can wear your mask on in the door, and there's plenty of room to physically distance in here, and we look forward to seeing you. God bless you. Have a great night.